hardcover Bible in the pew rack in front of you. And you can find Matthew 27, where we're going to be reading, on page 1387. And as I mentioned this morning, I'm not going to preach a message tonight per se. I just want to take some time to turn our thinking to the cross before we observe the Lord's table. So basically what I'm going to do is read Matthew's account of Jesus' crucifixion with just a couple comments along the way, but largely just reading through it. And I trust you'll just let these truths, the reality of what Jesus did for us on the cross, kind of settle into your soul. And I'm going to begin our reading tonight at the point near the end of Jesus' final trial before Pilate, where Pilate has offered the Jewish people the choice. In light of it being a feast day, they could choose to have one prisoner released. And the two choices that were put before them were the notorious prisoner Barabbas and the Lord Jesus. And Pilate's thought was that surely the people would choose Jesus. But they didn't. The Jewish people chose to have Barabbas released unto them. So take a look here, Matthew 27, verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ, Messiah? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult, a riot was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. In other words, do it yourselves. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged, when he had flogged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited, when they had woven together a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spat upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. Verse 32, And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to help Jesus bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, and that's an Aramaic word, so Matthew tells us what it means. That is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar, sour wine, to drink mingled with gall, which would presumably either dull the senses or maybe even hasten death. And when he had tasted thereof, when he tasted the gall, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Verse 38, Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. And so what that's saying is initially they both mocked him. But of course we know from Luke's Gospel chapter 23 that one of those thieves will eventually turn to Jesus in saving faith. Verse 45, now from the sixth hour, which is noon, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour, 3 p.m. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, and here he's quoting from Psalm 22 in Aramaic, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. John's account tells us that he cried, it is finished. And Luke says that after that cry, Jesus said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Folks, that's what Jesus endured for us. And what's not expressly stated in that account is that during those hours of darkness, Jesus experienced separation for the first time in all eternity from his Father as he was made sin for us, as he suffered the penalty that we deserve, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can receive eternal life as a gift. Jesus gave his life to ransom us. That's the reason that he came. At the outset of the Gospel of Matthew, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph before Jesus was born and says that Mary is going to bring forth a son. And he said to Joseph, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And then it gives the explanation of what that name means. For he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus simply means Jehovah saves. Jehovah is salvation. Tonight we observe the Lord's table in remembrance of the cross. Tonight we, in a particular way, in a special way, remember Jesus and his sacrifice for us. You know, we can remember that in our own hearts anytime, anywhere. But God has instructed us that as his people, as a church family, we are to come together and gather around the table, as it were, and together remember what Jesus has done. His shed blood, his body broken, his life laid down for us. Now, praise the Lord, he rose again the third day. And now, in this very moment, he sits at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives, to make intercession for you and for me until the appointed time of his return. So as we do each month, let me just remind us here for a few minutes of the significance of the Lord's table. You know, this is not a sacrament. It's not a time when God's grace is mystically and supernaturally dispensed through the elements that we partake of. It's a time of remembrance. Jesus himself said, this do in remembrance of me. And so we remember his body broken for us, and we remember his blood shed for us. And as we participate tonight, this doesn't add to our salvation. It doesn't keep us saved somehow. It doesn't offset something. But rather, this is an ordinance that God has commanded his people to do, those who have already trusted Jesus as our Savior. We partake as a testimony that we are thankful for what Jesus has done, that we want to remember what he has done for us. You know, it urges us to consider the cost of our salvation, the precious blood of Jesus. You know, and it prompts us to reflect with thanksgiving on who Jesus is and the salvation that we have because of him. The Lord's table is open to believers, anyone who is truly saved. And, you know, just what that means is that our salvation isn't by the works of righteousness that we've done. It's not something that we have accomplished, earned, proven ourselves worthy of. You know, the gospel says that salvation comes to those who acknowledge that they are sinners. And I talked about this morning how Jesus said, you know, he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance and to redemption and to salvation. And so anyone who has placed their faith in Jesus in that manner is welcome to participate. God's word does call us to be careful in how we approach the table. In 1 Corinthians 11, which is kind of the central passage just for instruction for the church about how we go about this time together, Paul says, let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And when he's talking about being unworthy there, the point isn't that any of us are worthy. The point is that this is a serious time. It's a sober time. It's a special time. And the Corinthians, we'll get to this in our study on Sunday mornings, but we're taking it lightly, taking it for granted, not participating in the way that God intends. So Paul says, you know, let's approach this with a serious-mindedness about it. Children who have trusted Christ as their Savior are welcome to participate if they understand what this is about. And parents, we just leave that to you to talk with your children. And if you feel content that they understand what's here to sufficient means, then they can participate. And one last thought, and I say this every month, but you know, the point of Paul's caution isn't to have somebody feel like, well, I don't know if I'm good enough. It's not to exclude anyone. The point of Paul's caution is just simply to say that it's a good thing for us to pause and ask God to search our hearts and deal with whatever things he might bring to mind. And then we talk with him about that. We're honest about it. John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what we want to do now is just take a few minutes to reflect, to talk with the Lord, to prepare our hearts for observing the Lord's table. So I'm going to have a word of prayer, and I'll ask our musicians to come now. And when the prayer is concluded, I'll ask them to play an appropriate song, and you just spend that time talking with the Lord. And then at an appropriate point, Brother Jeff will come and lead us in a couple stanzas of a hymn. And as he does, the men will come and prepare the table, and then we'll partake together. So let's pray. Father, we are thankful for just how clear the gospel is. We're thankful that your word tells us plainly that Jesus is the Son of God, the God-man. The